Joining me in the Catalyst studio today is Tanya Tanati, the co-founder of Mother Kombucha. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So we're looking today at, we have been doing a series on origin stories. And so we'd like to go way back to the very beginning to when Mother Kombucha was just an idea and figure out how we got from there to here. So where did it all start?
My background is in healthcare. I was a 20-year veteran as an occupational therapist, and I found myself spending more and more time as a therapist doing things that didn't really fall into the medical model, advising on health, ways to maybe avoid sickness and avoid medication, meditation, yoga, things like that. And more felt like I didn't belong in healthcare and that I needed to find a way to promote wellness, but in a completely different arena. So I was home with my two kids and thinking about everything from being a yoga therapist. I had a variety of ideas. And our mutual friend, Kelly Lessem at Squeeze Juice Works, opened her very first store. And I walked in with my newborn in my arms to congratulate her. And she said she wanted kombucha on tap. And I said, I'll do it on the spot. And had no idea what that meant or what that was going to entail. She and I chatted a bit about it, and then I spent about 4 months just researching it, and it went from maybe I could just do this to help her out, to realizing it was a need that could be filled in the Tampa Bay area.
At this point, had you already brewed your own and made your own, or was this completely?
Very minimally. I was more of a kombucha drinker than a kombucha maker.
Really? Yeah. So it was really like, I'll do it, and I'll go figure out how.
Right.
Why?
Exactly. Why? I've asked myself that many times.
So Kelly says this, and what drew you to want to say yes to that and then to go through the trouble of familiarizing yourself with it?
Well, I had been drinking kombucha a lot while I was pregnant and really, really feeling like it was enhancing my wellness. And so when I said it to her, I thought, I'll just make it at home, thinking that just innocently I was going to make it for her for Squeeze, much like she used to make juice at her house and sell it. And I could bring it to her and it would fill her need that she had there. And then that was enough to make me start. I like the excitement of a new idea and just really digging into it. And so I started first researching making it in larger containers and how to do something on tap. And then the next thing I knew, just the idea presented itself as something completely different from where it started.
Huh. When you went through this process initially, did you have money in your consciousness? Were you looking at what she could sell it for and what you thought it would cost you to make it? How much of the actual profitability of the exercise was present?
Once it got past that, I'm going to make it in my house and bring it to you, I started thinking about what the margins were, what the opportunities were. And at the time when we launched, the thought was initially to be a St. Pete, Tampa Bay business. But I did. I put a business plan together within that four-month period and had, you know, 4 or 5 years of business planning to see what does that look like as you grow.
And at that point, the competitive landscape was way, way thinner than it is now.
Absolutely.
Did that catch you by surprise, or did you kind of know that it was going to get this crowded in the kombucha space?
It was obviously a growing business, and it's felt very much like the craft beer industry and the cold brew coffee industry. They're all sort of taking the same path of explosive growth. And so it wasn't surprising, and it happened very quickly as we started getting into it, seeing and becoming aware at that point there was a brand new, our international trade organization, Kombucha Brewers International, was just less than a year old. So there was a trade organization, there was awareness of what was going on around the country, and it was obviously going to grow. But honestly, your administrative person at the front desk had never had kombucha before. So I don't feel like we've even come close to reaching the saturation level of beer or soda.
Yeah, that's funny. We had a conversation with Mike Harding from Three Daughters, and you hear people talking constantly about how many craft breweries are popping up in St. Pete. And I mentioned that to him, and his immediate reaction was, heck no, we haven't even scratched the surface yet. There's so much room for, we think we can support double the amount of breweries that we have now.
Right.
And still everybody can live comfortably with that. So there's a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, it's a crowded category, but I mean, I really think it's about 10% of the population that even knows what kombucha is and have had it, you know, so there's a lot of opportunity too.
So at this point, then, as you start to really lay some frameworks in your brain about what you can do going forward, then who comes in and who's sort of part of this process and in what roles did they take on as the company formed?
So for that first 4 or 5 months, myself and my husband, Vic, who's our brand manager, were just mulling over everything from what would it be called? What would it look like? What would it taste like? How would we do this? And then the reality of being able to do it with a newborn and a three-year-old. The reality was there. And so we said, we can't do this on our own. So we need to bring in someone else. And our third partner, Josh Rumschlag, his wife was a friend of mine. We have kids the same age. And I knew he was a home fermentationist. And I also knew he was a stay-at-home dad. So I wasn't asking him to leave a full-time job to come basically work for free.
Yeah.
So talked to Josh and we started meeting. He had a lot of ideas and we just started all brainstorming together and pulling it together.
And at this point, did you just bootstrap everything? Obviously, if you're not earning and he's not earning, then how'd the lights stay on for this first year?
We have bootstrapped and still continue. We just started our first angel round this summer. And so we have bootstrapped continuously for the last 4 years. We started working out of a commercial kitchen that rented us a very small square footage of space. I think our rent was $400 a month and literally had to buy pots and pans and the brewing equipment, a few things. So we were able to start with really almost no seed money.
That's great. So Squeeze was your first customer?
They actually weren't our very first customer, but they were very close. And then all the small businesses around St. Pete, Tampa Bay area, the word started to get around and people started reaching out. We were doing Saturday morning market at that time, indie market, Hyde Park.
And you were bottling at this point?
We were not bottling. We were draft only for the first 14, 15 months. Our facility was too small to bottle in. There was no place to put the product.
Just leave it in the trunk of the car and go grab someone. You know.
Pretty much. After a couple months, we were getting our various wholesale customers to let us store product in their coolers, essentially, because there wasn't enough space at the kitchen.
What was your happiness level like at that point? Were you feeling all that romantic, you know, we're building this business and that passion was flowing? Or was there a time when it got to be a real grind and you thought,
Oh, no. At that time, it was so exciting and so fun. Yeah.
That's cool. And the brand is fantastic. So I guess Vic gets a high five for that. So what were the discussions around the naming Mother Kombucha? And I'm always curious to hear what were the second and third choices that would have been if it weren't that.
Vic and I spent not a ton of time. We just started doing naming exercises, writing down lists of everything that came to mind, just everything from words that you associate with kombucha to our area to us personally. And mother was at the top of the list of the words, but it almost seemed just too ubiquitous that we looked over it several times when we were going over the list. I honestly cannot remember what else was on the list, and I probably don't have it anymore, sadly. But then we were going over it one night and it just jumped out and was so obvious. Like, why didn't we? Well, the first thought was obviously it's taken. Mm-hmm. There's no way that your URL is still available. And, you know, and it wasn't. So.
Well, and then what about the visual deciding to go in that direction, sort of the goddessy kind of direction versus some other direction?
That would be more of a Vic question in terms of how he really came up with it. But I think that the word mother is very warm and inviting. I think John Dow, who you've had on here before, we were talking about it early on. And he said, you know, even if you don't like your mother, the word mother has a warm feeling that you get. And the culture that grows kombucha is also referred to as a mother. So it has many meanings. I was a stay-at-home mom doing the job. So it just was a perfect fit for us.
And how has your relationship with kombucha grown and changed as you become an expert at it and understand it from, you know, its place in society as a growing of interest to more and more people versus the people that are, I'm sure you're very in contact with, the really serious people who get really deep into the fermentation process. So
right.
What is your relationship with kombucha like now?
Well, that's a great question. It's so much a part of every aspect of everything that I do. It's like a member of the family. As the managing partner, I have to think about kombucha as a revenue source. I have to think kombucha as a life source. I have to think of it as something that I still find exciting and inspiring. And then think about, where does kombucha take us next? What's the next thing that we can do? There's just a lot of opportunities within fermented products and even just kombucha itself, of just so many things that you can do with it.
And obviously, there are a lot of products that have arcs, right? And kombucha would be one that would be susceptible to being an arc. And so is that something you're conscious of and understanding?
Oh, absolutely.
And, mm-hmm. and then, so what are your counter strategies to making sure the business stays healthy if kombucha becomes less popular?
Well, first I'll say I think kombucha is like yogurt. I don't think it's a trend that's just going to come and go. But there are a lot of other opportunities within the fermented foods and fermented beverages that you can pivot with And we're definitely aware of and planning several different things along those lines.
Okay. And the first place we'll hear about that is
absolutely
on the Catalyst.
Yep, that's right.
All right. So we were going through the origin story. So we're at the point now where you've got a few customers, everything's still on draft. And what were some of the bigger milestones you remember going on beyond that when you decided to make the move into bottling? Were you, you know, still bootstrapping at this point?
Yep.
Let's pick back up there.
Yeah. So, I mean, the first thing was securing an SBA loan so that we could move into our own facility. That was an absolute must just to get out of this microscopic, basically test kitchen that we were working from. And my husband and I had done an SBA loan previously for another business. And so we knew the process and were able to make that happen fairly easy. And so we built out our prior facility before the one that we're in now, which is 2,600 square feet. And that allowed us to start bottling and allowed us to start thinking about how do we grow the business beyond just an idea. And that was definitely the first turning point. And the bottles was just a total game changer because draft is just draft. It only can be so many places. And you're usually talking somebody into giving up a beer tap. So
was there a discussion at that point about taking investment money versus an SBA loan?
There was. We've flirted with the idea of taking investment for quite some time, but we felt like we were still too small and hadn't really proven ourselves yet. And so to take on investment would have really been at that point to give away majority ownership of everything.
Right.
And so we just weren't ready.
Fair enough. And when did employees start happening?
We had to bring on employees very early because of our family situation, life situation, our original kitchen. We could only work at night and weekends like elves. So I'd put my kids to bed and then come down there. And then if my baby woke up, I had to go home and then come back. So it wasn't possible to grow the business and to do the business side of the business and the manufacturing side of it. So our brewmaster now started with us at that tiny kitchen, as well as our operations manager. And they have done every job that there is to do in the company, from delivery, working markets, brewing, and everything in between.
How many checks are you writing? How many people are involved?
There are 9 full-time and about another 6 part-time.
So you moved into a little bigger kitchen. You're bottling at this point.
Right.
What were some of the milestone customers that stand out from that time period?
From when we started bottling, the really big deal was to get into Rolling Oats because it was the first time we were in a grocery store. Rolling Oats and Duckweed was the first opportunity to be in a grocery store. And that was just, for some reason, totally different to walk in and see your product on the shelf of a grocery store versus in another business. I don't know why. I still get excited everywhere I go when I see it. It's still exciting to me. But for some reason, that was a huge deal. I think because it was my home store that I always shopped at, and it was just so exciting. And then from there, obviously, when we got into the airport, as we were just talking about, that was really exciting because we knew the opportunity. We get social media posts and emails from people all over the world that had our product there and want to know when it's going to be where they are. And it's just super exciting.
And of course, Publix has been in the news.
Publix is the new thing. Yeah. Very, very exciting. We actually, our first conversation with Publix was when we were in our previous facility, 2,600 square feet, and our buyer was awesome. And she said, come back when you've got more space. And then they actually came to us and said, hey, you showed interest before. We're ready to do category submissions again. Bring your product to us. So
can you share how that process works? Since you were representing yourself, what was their process like?
It's actually not as intimidating as you would think, given the size and knowing how specific they are and how selective they are about the products that they bring in. So most people do get in with brokers, and we didn't. We just showed up for the meeting, and we know our business and we know it well. And they actually are really interested in bringing in more local businesses, partnering in a way that they're really important to them to vet us in a way to know that they were not going to be damaging to our business, but to help us be more successful.
Interesting. Were there some specifics around that conversation of what the potential risk was?
There was, because we had the discussion about, should we go into all of the Publix, which are, I think, give or take 1,200 stores, or should we go into a region? And they really talked it out with us. And, you know, the conclusion that we all came to together was we could do the big one. We could meet the needs, but it would be such a huge jump for us that we have the opportunity within our region to really show them what we can do, to be aggressive with promotions and build a relationship together. where launching at that size, we could have put ourselves at risk. I mean, it also would have been really hard to meet the needs of our other 300-400 customers we'd been working with and who had helped us build our business for the last 4 years. So,
right. So I guess that brings us up to today, and it's feeling good. So can you give us any hints on what's next as far as the line expansion? Or obviously, you just released some new flavors. I know that Megan here was raving about them and said they were mind-blowing.
We did. We just came out with 3 new bottled flavors in our new package design, new labels. Everything is updated. And I wish I could talk about the line extensions. If you'll have me back soon, I will be happy to. It's just some things that have to be sorted out that I'm not at liberty to discuss yet.
No worries. I appreciate it. It's a great story, and thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you so much for having me.